God loves us so much that He comes by in specific ways to minister to our needs. The secret is our response to the precious Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you so very, very much. I can't overemphasize how much that God loves you, how much God cares for you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. I want to give you the word that God's laid upon my heart. I was listening to a preacher this past week, and there was just one scripture that just jumped out at me, and began to read that scripture and work on that scripture, and God began to reveal to me the circumstances of life in which we are living in. I don't think that anybody could deny that we are living in the last days. It's more than that. We're living in perilous times. If you're a Jew, if you're a Christian, you're marked. The world hates you. There is a movement that hates democracy. There's a movement that hates Christianity. There's a movement that it's Satan inspired out of the pits of hell. But the thing about it is that we've heard that saying, when things get tough, the tough get going. And we've got to get spiritually tough in this hour that we're living in, because we don't have much time. I said, we've got to get spiritually tough. We got to lay aside all those little isms and schisms, and God, come by today to speak to our heart, to my heart. There's some things that get under my skin. I got to let it go. I got to let God handle it. And we're living in that hour. I want to get down where the rubber meets the road with you for just the next hour and a half anyway, and just let you know that God loves you and cares for you. But we've got to get some tough skin. We've got to make up our mind regardless. So let me get into the Word of God real quickly in Joshua chapter 24. Very familiar passages of Scripture that I'm going to bring to you today, but I want to bring them to you in a little different angle. Now therefore, verse 14, fear the Lord. Joshua is talking to the children of Israel. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Somebody say sincerity. The rest of you say truth. There's something about that we have been around church so long that we just let it slide off of our tongue, and we failed to get the sincerity and the truth of God's Word deep within our hearts. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, we need to dissect that just a little bit to understand that the children of Israel, when they was in Egypt and when they was on the other side of the Red Sea, that they seen all the junk that Egypt, all the gods that they had, and they was permeated with that, and they didn't really have the liberty, though they had the will to choose God, their Jehovah, or they could serve the gods of the Egyptians, and which many of them did. But Joshua was saying, it's time that you realize and put them gods away. And even though they was idol gods, there was a Sphinx and there was all those other things, there's gods that's coming to our world today in this present time, and we've got to get them out of our life. So what is the gods? It's anything that's keeping you from being your best for God. It's anything that's distracting you. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was coming this afternoon, what changes would you make? And by the way, He could. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which was on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, it's time to make up your mind. Quit being split in two different directions, being pulled apart. The Word of God tells us He'd rather that you be hot or cold to be lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, we make Him sick to His stomach. So make up your mind. If you're going to serve the devil, then go serve the devil. If you're going to serve God, it's time to get some tough skin and serve God. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm not even going to apologize for my hoarseness this morning because I know what God laid on my heart. I ain't about to let the devil defeat me or defeat you because God wants you to hear the Word, wants you to be set free, wants you to be delivered, wants you to live a victorious life from this moment forward. I titled my message this morning, True Grit. Look at your neighbor and say, True Grit. You got to get it. You got to get it. Now, with that being said, most of you are thinking, what are you thinking? True Grit's not just John Wayne. If you'll stop and think about it, all of us has watched his movies and his stuff. If you get to thinking about it, there's a lot of meaning in that True Grit. All the movies that made him carry that name, he showed a lot of grit as he played the character and challenge those around him, especially in my favorite, The Cowboys. How many remembers that movie? How remembers what scripture I just read to you? In The Cowboys, all the big cowboys had went up north paying for gold because there'd been a gold strike. John Wayne had all, those of you that haven't seen the movie and those of you that love it so much you don't care to hear it again. When he had a big herd of cattle he had to get to market, there was nobody left but little boys. Listen to me, okay? You say, man, that's so stupid to be preaching that. No, Jesus used earthly things to tell parables of heavenly meanings. So today, I'm going to talk to you about Brother John. Okay? And in that, if you'll remember, and if you ain't seen it, you need to see it again. In that, he made such a positive impact with grit on those little boys that wasn't much more out of diapers that they defeated a whole bunch of outlaws and got the cows to market. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's a market coming up. It's not for cows. We're going to stand before Almighty God, give an account. And can I tell you today that what the devil's trying to do to kill, steal, and to destroy, he does in such a subtle way that sometimes we don't even see what he's doing, and it's causing strife and confusion, and it's causing all kinds of stuff in our life, and it's messing us up. And ultimately, we don't realize it, but it's sending us to a devil's hell, and we don't even see the picture. I'm going to try my best not to raise my voice too much so I can finish this message and don't lose it. But he showed a lot of grit to those little boys that finished. Did you hear me? They finished the job. But I'm going a little farther today, telling you that I want to reach out to your life. I want to reach to your home. I want to reach out to your house. I want to reach down into your life. I want to reach to where you work. I want to reach to where your AM is connecting with your PM. I'm talking about morning and night, where your relationship with God is more than just a reference of where you go to church or what you know about Him. I want to get down to the place of how you know Him. I'm probably not going to succeed of staying calm, But it's hard to stay calm when the fire's shut up in your bones. You'd understand that. I know you'll understand that. But in the text that we read to you this morning, Joshua is giving the children of Israel a history lesson of God's providence and God's provision and God's love of all the way back. He went all the way back to Abraham, their father, and they could relate to that because God raised him up out of nowhere, and he told them the story of Moses bringing them out of Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness and called them into a land of Canaan. They could already been there, but 40 years while they was there, he still supplied their every need. Can I tell you, in the midst of your stuff, he'll still supply your need. But wake up. You could be over in Canaan's land. Rejoin the blessings of God. Oh, somebody didn't hear that today. We're struggling in our wilderness. We're barely getting by. We're having to seek for a well here. We're trying to find some manna just to survive. But can I tell you, if you'll turn it all over to God, He'll bring you into Canaan's land. Brought him into a land by the name of Canaan that supplied all their needs. Egypt was not enough. Wilderness was just enough. But Canaan's more than enough. He brought them into the land of Canaan. There he supplied all their needs and gave them cities that they did not build, orchards that they did not plant, wells that they did not dig. Joshua told them that they had seen and was persuaded by the gods of the other nations, and it was time that they totally forsook them and cleaved to the God of Jehovah Jireh that was able to meet and supply every need. Every need. Can I tell you today, it's time that we take a stand. It's time that we make up our mind and we grow up and mature in the things of God. I read a deal the other day that said getting older is mandatory, maturing is optional. I pray today that through this message and the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, that we'll realize and that we'll see the signs that are all around about us, that it's time for us to put our self-will down and rise to the occasion of maturing in the things of God, that we might be able to help others. Can I tell you, when we stay in that state of the wilderness, we're not only developing character in our lives, but we're developing character in our children's lives, we're developing character in our neighbors' lives, we're developing character in those we work with when we need to show them Canaan land, the godly life. I view Canaan land as the godly life. Can I tell you, in the society and in the world, in the spiritual world, and where we are today, there isn't any place for crybabies in God's army. There's no place for wearing our feelings on our sleeve. Listen, it's easy. I know what I'm talking about. I'm human. Peach me. I'll holler. And I may swing back, but I'm here to tell you I'm human. I know what the devil tries to do. He tries to get us to wear our feelings on our sleeves, to where everything bothers us and we can never get what God wants us to get. Excuse me. We haven't grown out of the bottle, and should have a long time ago, because the Word specifically tells us that it's time to get off the milk and get on the meat of the Word of God. And we are living in those days. Come on, church. We're living in those days. It's raining outside. Don't worry about everybody else. They'll be late for dinner too. I'm telling you, we're living in strategic times. When things begin to happen, if you don't have some backbone, you're going to be in trouble. If you let things, every time you turn a corner, bother you, you're going to be in trouble. I'm here to tell you, God loves you more than you think He does, and we love you more than you think we do, and God wants to bring you to a place where you can help somebody else and be an asset instead of a liability to the kingdom of God. We need to wake up. We better wake up. We better grow up. Listen, I don't have an axe to grind. I'm just here to tell you today that I see some things on the horizon. Unless we get a stiff upper lip, unless we get some grit, unless we really make up our minds that we're going to serve God no matter what. We're going to serve God. I'm here to tell you it's better to wake up now, realizing and see what's going on, than it is to wake up one morning and have to grow up out of necessity. I'm warning you right now that we're at a crossroads of decision, decisions of our life, to make a choice to grow up and be an asset to the kingdom of God, or continue to stay in our state of self-pity and find ourselves in a backslidden condition on our way to hell because of the choices that we have made that's been so frivolous, and it's not worth going there. And the worst part of it is we're leading those around us, our kids and our family, down the same path. Listen to me, church. This ain't a playground, but it's a battlefield. Only the fighters with true grit's going to make it. I said, only the fighters with true grit's going to make it. Listen, this message I'm preaching to you today, I'm preaching out of love because I love you so much. I want you to reach a place in the things of God that you'll be able to stand against the Goliaths that's in our world today. That you'll be able to stand against His brothers, and you'll be able to stand against the giants that's got five fingers and five toes on every hand and on every foot. Hey, I just come by to tell you today that I'm looking for some men and women of God that'll get some true grit, that'll grab a hold of a lion, and that you will take him down in the name of Jesus, because the true grit of God is inside of you and wants to take you to new levels in your life. We are in a battlefield, not a playground. Listen, y'all know what true grit is. True grit is defined as one that tends to stick to their goals despite the numerous issues, problems, and setbacks and failures in our life. Come on, somebody preach with me for just a little bit. I'm preaching hard with a strained voice and not feeling well, and you're not even amen and good when you're feeling well. True grit is defined as one that tends to stick to their goals despite numerous issues and problems and setbacks and failures. Anybody in the house today got some issues? Anybody got any problems? Anybody had any setbacks or failures? Can I tell you, a person with true grit is one who has firmness of mind and an unyielding courage. True grit is one with fortitude and determination that has the tenacity to see it out to the end, regardless. Oh, my Lord, I feel the Spirit of God. We need some tenacity in this place today. Then let the devil know, I'm not taking this junk no more. I need the tenacity of the Holy Ghost to stir our hearts and stir our lives. True grit is one with fortitude and determination that has the tenacity to see this thing to the end. The Word of God tells us that he that endures to the end shall be saved. We got to see this thing to the end. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's looking at your life. Somebody's seeing your ups and downs. And somebody's saying, I wish I had somebody that had the tenacity. I wish that I had somebody that had the endurance. I wish I had somebody that would hold on to the altars of God and see this thing through. Oh. choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You have a choice. You can allow the devil to whisper in your ear and lie to you. You can allow things to upset and bother you. You can allow circumstances that you say, well, this is how I've always believed, and I'm just going to stick to it. Well, those things might send you to hell too, because you're not willing to listen to the voice of God. And I'm not talking about convictions, and I'm not talking about standards in the Word of God. Sometimes we develop our own. Did you realize, did you know that the Jews had so many laws that they made outside of the ordinances of God that they couldn't even keep them themselves? We get so religious. Oh my. We get so religious sometimes that we lose the effect of our relationship with God. I don't know if you're feeling this or enjoying it, either one, but I'm telling you, I'm feeling it and I'm enjoying it. You know why? Because I know what I know that I know that I know. We have raised and become a bunch of spiritual sissies that the devil's pushed us around. Yes, I said it. We've become spiritual sissies and let the devil push us around and let us be so intimidated by fear and so intimidated by, I don't like this and I don't like that. And the devil's over in the corner laughing his head off. While our business should be getting souls saved and building each other up, rather than dwelling on our pet peeves. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 18. And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that he has forsaken the commandments of the Lord and has followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400 that eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to the children of Israel, gathered all the prophets to Mount Carmel, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? I'm asking you, it's time that you make a decision, because you cannot stay halted between two opinions very long, because we are in the last days. We are at the crossroad. Elijah came to the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Drives me crazy to ask somebody something and they just stand there and look at you like you're stupid. And I don't have far to go, so please don't do that. Hello, come on. Come on, come on, folks. I'm telling you this because I love you, man. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this because we are living in those strategic times. We got to choose, and we got to quit dilly-daddling around with all these other ideas. I absolutely love this story. There was a famine going on. That was what this was all about. There was a famine going on. And in this famine that was going on, Ahab and Jezebel was king and queen of Israel at that time. And you all know their story. And the famine was so bad that Ahab told his servant Obadiah, that feared God and loved God, feared God, still in the house, is lucky he didn't have his throat slit already, because Jezebel had already killed several prophets of God. Hear me. These people were under attack. There was no time to be swayed in two different opinions. They was living under a kingdom where Jezebel and Ahab was destroying, literally, all the things that God had instituted and put in place, including the prophets. But the drought was so bad that Ahab told Obadiah, his right-hand man, said, I want you to take half of the stock. See if you can go find some pasture somewhere. I'll take the other staff, half of the cattle and the herd and stuff, and we'll see if we can find pasture just so we can survive, this period of drought. Hey, you may be going through a drought in your life, but God will supply you with pasture that'll get you through it if you'll just hang on to the unchanging hand of God. Obadiah took off with his half of the herd, and on the way he met... Now you have to understand, Ahab and Elijah was not friends at this time. Ahab blamed Elijah for all the problems that Israel was having. And so there was some contention there. I'm talking about don't get him in the neighborhood, because if you do, there's going to be a fight breakout. Well, Obadiah goes and tries to find pasture for the herd, and on the way, guess who he meets? Elijah. And Elijah tells Obadiah, said, I want you to go back and tell Ahab that I'm in town and I want to talk to him. And Obadiah said, are you crazy, man? He hates you. He hates you so bad. If I go back and tell him the news, he's going to kill me. He don't want nothing to do with you. I can't believe, as a man of God, you would ask me to do such a thing. That sounds just like a preacher. Do that which is absolutely ridiculous. Now, you don't understand. You didn't get it. Obadiah was scared to death to put Elijah and Ahab in the same continent, let alone the same county. He said, you go and tell him. Obadiah said, you got to be kidding me. He said, this is how it works. This is how we rationalize things in our mind. God tell us something and it doesn't matter how good it sounds, we rationalize it all away, and that's what Obadiah did. Said, Elijah, if I go tell him that you're in town and you're looking for him, he said, God will pick you up, take you somewhere, and I won't know where to find you. Ahab won't know where to find you, and he'll kill me anyway. Isn't that ludicrous? God tells us something. We need to know that God says it. And let's just do it. But anyway, I can tell that didn't interest you near as much as it did me. So we'll go on to the gritter things. This is where Obadiah went back and told Ahab, said, Elijah's looking for you. I can just see him standing behind the tree while he's telling him that. Elijah's looking for you. And that's where he told him, he said, you go get the prophets of Baal, 450. We always say there's 450, but there was 850. Because thank you, Lord, for that confirmation. There was another 400 that sat at Jezebel's table that was her little patsies. And when they met on Mount Carmel, Elijah said, we're going to have it out right here. And you all know the story of how that they build an altar, and you know it's hard to imagine 450, but 850 crying and cutting themselves. I mean, that things had to be a bloody mess up on top of that mountain because they couldn't get their God to hear them. But Elijah was saying, you've been in a state of mind where you couldn't make up your mind. And the best way of both worlds ain't going to work. It's not possible. You can't have the best of both worlds. It's time to make up your mind. God or Baal, it's time to choose. If Elijah, who had the grit to stand in the face of Ahab and Jezebel and all the prophets, he trusted and he looked to God. He had true grit. This is what it takes in the life of a child of God today. There's five things, five characteristics. There's probably more, but there's at least five characteristics, I'm sure, to where we have to have true grit in the spiritual realm, just like Elijah did, just like Joshua did. We have to have true grit, that we have to have courage. We have to have the consciousness and be dependable. Let God use us. We have to have endurance and follow through. We have to have resistance and confidence. And we have to have the excellence and not just perfection. Sometimes we strive too much to perfection. If we just do our very best, God will take what our best is and they'll make excellence out of it. So we have to have courage, dependability, conscientiousness, endurance, follow through, resistance, resilience. Somebody say resilience, confidence, and excellence. I'm going to wind down here just because I can tell that I have left some of you between Joshua and some of you in Mount Carmel. Hello. I love it wearing these reading glasses because I can't see a thing when I got them on out there. Oh, you guys are still out there. You believe what I'm trying to tell you today? There is a time when we've got to have some grit, and now's the time. Now's the time. Can I just tell you something right now? Perilous times are here. It's time to make a decision. It's time that we make up our mind whom we're going to serve. I hadn't heard this word in a long, long time, but it's time we quit lollygagging around in our indecisiveness, because it'll kill you. How many remembers that message I preached on indecisiveness? You remember, I've thought about that several times this week, about the little squirrel. You know, you ever been going down the road and the little squirrel can't make up his mind whether he wants to go one way or another, and he just stops right in the middle of your path? I'm telling you, indecisiveness will kill you. If you don't believe me, just look at the dead squirrels in the road. We've got to make up our minds. We've got to have that tenacity. I know we look around us and we are living in the last days in perilous times. 2 Timothy, I got several other scriptures, but I'm not going to read them. I just want you to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 and through 5 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Are we here? If we ain't, I don't want to be here when they is. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers." Affliction. Yeah, without natural affliction. Hello? Without natural affection, that means homosexuality and lesbians, in case you didn't know. Truth breakers, puts them in the same category. False accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. You know what heady means? It means somebody that you can't tell them nothing. They have no sense of reasoning. And then we are living in that society and in that world today. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of their such, turn away. We are living in that air. We are living in that time. I said that I wasn't going to read another scripture, but I am. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 says, "That we have henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Would you stand with me all over the building today? It's time we get some grit. It's time we get some grit. Father God, I love You and I appreciate You, Lord, for all that You've done and all You're going to do. I thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. I believe that You have ordained this service. I believe You have ordained in this time, in this specific place. I ask You, O God, that You will stir our hearts. Stir our lives. Help us to realize there is storm clouds literally on the horizon in our skies today. But let our spiritual eyes be open that we might see the spiritual war that's coming our way. the spiritual war, the spiritual storm, the spiritual things that are out to destroy us. Help us, oh God, that we might get some spiritual grit about us. Oh God, help us to have that spiritual tenacity, that we be not weary in well-doing, but oh God, that we will be faithful to the very end. We'll be faithful. Let us put aside our will and let us seek yours. Father God, I ask you, Lord, that you will keep your hand over those as they travel home. Keep them safe. Bring us back at the appointed time. We thank you and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. With that, I'm going to dismiss you, except I want to encourage you tonight, by all means, if you can't get here because of water, call me. I'll send a boat. Brother Little Judah Ryan is going to speak to us tonight. Little Judah, if you don't know him, when he at birth almost died because of some complications at his birth. He has heart problems. He has lung problems. He has to carry an oxygen. He went to our school for a while. Very precious young man, about, 21, somewhere in there, I think, something like that. He is going to be speaking to us tonight on suffering well. Suffering, if you think you've got problems, if you think you've got issues, you need to get in your boat. You have to paddle it. Get here tonight. God's going to bless you. God's going to touch you. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus. God bless you.